put that on. I gave her some clip-on ears.
Where did you buy it?
It's on the web. It's on the web. You can just do a search for butt plug horsetail or something. And then I gave her some clip-on ears. I don't know if they were cat or rabbit ears. And then I gave her a fur coat. I guess it was rabbit fur.
Was this on Easter Sunday by any chance?
No, it wasn't, but that would have been really appropriate.
Did you make her call you Tex?
No. I wanted her to make animal sounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we made love that way, and I've got to say, it was a whole new kick. I recommend it to all of you.
Sounds like a good time. I can only say, I think speaking for all of us here, that we wish we could have seen it.
I didn't tape that one because I was still unsure about the legal and ethical ramifications.
I applaud you for your creativity. Did you like shoo her or do some kind of teeth cleaning or any kind of, you know?
Well, I had her demonstrate the lordosis position, which is what all rats and I think most mammals tend to do when they stick their ass in the air to better receive the male phallus, and also because it lets the semen drip down into the womb.
Well, I'm gonna disagree with my co-host here and say that you're a sick individual and you're gonna burn in hell. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Oh yeah.
And I'm gonna pray for you. And
but don't listen to that. That's just the lawyer talking.
All right.
So thanks a lot for your call. We appreciate it. I'm just teasing about burning in hell. It should only take a few years in purgatory.
Yeah, purgatory at worst.
Fantastic.
Great. Take it easy.
Call you next week.
Excellent. Bye. With more scenarios.
Wow.
And more girlfriends. Excellent.
That was fantastically arousing. It's going to take a while for my erection to subside. And in the meantime...
Shall we talk about sports in the meantime?
Well, no, I think we should finish up our story about the arena, or start it, really.
I've decided that my New Year's resolution is going to be to give the phone number every 10 minutes. 621-WRCT. That's 621-9728. Also, our website is sextalk.wrct.org.
And, as an orgasm.
Exactly. And if you have real audio, you can play any of our previous shows, including this one, on your computer, assuming we don't screw it up somehow.
So, the arena.
The arena. Well, I mean, let's...
It's in a creepy neighborhood.
Some people don't even... We should really go back to the beginning. Like, what is a gay bathhouse? A gay bathhouse... I mean, 100 years ago, everyone went to bathhouses because you didn't have a bathtub in your house. You had to, like, go somewhere to, like, get cleansed. And people, it was like this kind of cultural thing. You would go there, like, once a week, and all your friends would be there, and you'd be, like, steaming. And
in many cultures, it's still a communal experience. Japan, Turkey.
Russia.
Mm. And so...
Germany?
In this country, you know, with the advent of plumbing, I suppose, you know, it kind of went out of favor, and it still exists, I guess. I don't know why. I don't know why it exists still in the gay community, but these places still exist, you know, and they have all the trappings of a traditional bathhouse, but they also have this other quality, which is there's all these men kind of walking around wanting to have sex with you.
Yes, it's not primarily about getting clean anymore.
In fact, well, we'll get to that.
And so, you know, Pittsburgh has one of these. It's called the Arena, and it's in Oakland somewhere. And
it's actually in what I would call Uptown or Soho. It's not in Oakland proper.
Oh, I didn't realize Pittsburgh had a place called Soho.
Yeah,
it's about two blocks wide, and the arena is in it.
All right, so it's sort of near the Birmingham Bridge on Forbes Avenue, basically. And we went there, and it's very interesting. I think there's kind of this, I don't know what this place was. It was like a three-story structure. Was it just sort of an ordinary house converted into this thing? Or
it felt like it had some sort of, perhaps the purpose of a hotel, since there were a number of very small rooms attached on the upper floors. That could always be a reconversion from some sort of house. It's hard to tell.
So you go in this place, and it's actually fairly dark, and there's... There was a dress code, which I was surprised to learn, that you have to wear either just a towel or leather and Levi's. I think that was
that was one of the options.
Or I don't remember what the other dress code was. Maybe
I don't either.
Maybe it was indeed the kind of butt plug, horse tail, and ears. I think that would be.
I don't remember them being exactly that specific.
And so, we went there. We actually rented a room. You can actually rent you can go there and rent a room for $19. I think this is the best kept secret in the lodging industry is that you can get a room in this place for $19.
Actually, at the New Edison Hotel downtown, it's $23 a night. So
really,
yeah.
Well, at the New Edison Hotel, will there be semen, fresh semen stains on your sheets? Or
actually, there probably would be, although probably not as much.
Although the arena did have a sauna. No, that's its advantage.
And so we went exploring in this place, and basically, I don't know, maybe you guys want to sort of talk about it. I find it fascinating. It was like an English muffin. It had all these nooks and crannies and various places to explore and hide the melted butter and so on.
It was really unspeakably gross. I mean, it was truly foul, truly disgusting. And I want to make clear that I'm not talking about the activities or the people yet. I mean, just the physical plant itself. I felt the dirt accreting on my body from merely walking around. It was really that very disappointing from that perspective.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We seem to have struck some kind of nerve with our callers with this kind of strap-on butt plug thing, and I believe we have another caller who's waiting to come on the air, and so the callers come first, so please, is the caller there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know how I can.
That's the producer's end of things.
Can you hear us now?
Much better.
Okay.
Mm. Oh, do you have a question or a comment?
Well, I have sort of a question. I'm hoping that you can give me some tips. I know that you probably wouldn't have this problem as men with your own penises, but I really, really love to give it to my boyfriend up the ass, and he loves it too. I just got like a regular strap-on, not a fancy one. Mm-hmm. It's the Texas two-strap, by the way. And it works rather well, and, you know, I'm still kind of getting used to it, but occasionally, you know, I'm topping him, I'm taking charge, I'm telling him how it is, I'm totally giving it to him, and then kind of I fall out. And, you know, he has to kind of say, honey, you fell out. And it really sort of, it's demoralizing when you're trying to dominate someone to have them tell you that you've fallen out.
Imagine when it actually is your own penis and, you know, theoretically you should be able to feel it. I mean,
well, right. Well, proprioception is a very good thing. And you know, but I don't have it in this particular instance. So I'm wondering, how do you guys handle that?
Well, we bluff, usually.
We act like we meant it to fall out. And it's all part of it.
Don't tell me where to stick my property, that sort of thing.
So one thing you could try physically, and I'll let DJ Sexpert talk. One thing you could try is kind of cup your hand around the shaft of the device. And
that is the added advantage of extra manual stimulation in that area.
Yeah. And then if it falls out, presumably you'll feel it because it'll be in your hand now instead of.
Okay, wait. So my mind is filling up with questions. First, I have actually a concrete piece of advice, which you may not be useful to you because it sounds like you're already beyond this level, but I recommend to anyone who's interested in this scenario to, if they have a computer, to go to the Blowfish website. This is www.blowfish.com and get their video called Bend Over Boyfriend.
Yeah, I've got that video.
You do?
As I suspected, you were... my boyfriend on Valentine's Day as a tutorial.
Oh, my.
Let me tell you, Carol Queen's been doing this for a much longer time than I have. She does not show you what she looked like 20 years ago when she started doing this.
Interesting. So the thing I don't quite understand is when your, like, synthetic dildo pops out of your boyfriend's hungry... ass.
Mm-hmm.
What's the problem? Why not just jam it back in? I mean, where's the shame?
Yeah, but you know, sometimes it takes a couple strokes to figure it out.
Mm.
It just kind of ruins the dynamic that I'm trying to build here.
Especially if while the dildo is flopping around, you accidentally knock his testicles, for example, as could happen in that kind of scenario.
Well, that hasn't turned out to be as much of a problem. It's really just the shift in the power dynamic.
Yeah, it's a question of attitude, right? Because you're in control and all of a sudden you realize that you've been completely off base for a couple
exactly.
of seconds, right?
Yeah. What about? I mean, and again, not something that I've done, but perhaps if you had a longer one, or perhaps if you took shorter strokes.
Yeah, longer one I think is definitely necessary in this case. I mean, I obviously just don't have enough to please him at this point.
Have you tried blaming your boyfriend for the problem, telling them that he yelling at him, perhaps that he squirms around too much?
That is such a fantastic idea.
Well, you know, and I actually, you know, the thing is, I'm really envious of you because you are able to, just by purchasing a different product, address any of your own any of your own insecurities and any of your own limitations. Whereas I have to deal every day with my small penis, for example. You know, there's nothing I can do. And
you can't buy the next size Texas two step can.
Exactly.
No,
you know,
it's not the harness that's the problem.
And I think that, you know, you're in a unique position to actually, you know, if the two strap isn't working, you should get the three strap, for example, or the multi prong or whatever the next level.
Would be the next model up.
I'm sorry, what?
The Terra Firma is the next model up. Ooh,
with a name like that, I think you have to get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I should point out that my own rectum is definitely limited in its kind of linear capacity. I mean, there's some point where you just cannot push any farther without causing me extreme pain. And so this idea that you can just get a longer dildo is actually a little bit, you have to be a little bit careful about that. You have to carefully measure sort of your partner's...
Sure. Make sure you file off the burrs as well.
Uh-huh.
Say, Carl, you sound familiar. You're not calling from New York State by any chance, are you?
Well, possibly.
New York State. The idea that we would have a listener in New York State is extremely alarming to me.
I was wondering how long it would take you to figure that one out.
Busted.
Okay, why don't you two have your little private chat sort of offline?
I will get in contact with you later, okay?
All right, then.
What is going on between you two?
That was his girlfriend, actually.
Some kind of code that I don't really understand. Anyway, where were we? Do we have a queue of callers or what? Oh, it's time for me to give the phone number again, 621-WRCT. And for our national and international callers, that's country code 1, area code 412-621-9728.
So, back to the arena.
Well, actually, I have to suppress that. Okay, we'll talk for 10 seconds, but we've actually got another caller who wants to call in. Apparently, the switchboard is lighting up, as you know, at Sex Talk, the caller comes first. Well, yeah. Unless the caller doesn't want to.
It depends on which of us is on top, I think, actually.
And so, so is the caller there?
As far as I'm concerned, if it's me and the caller, what generally happens is I'll come first and then roll over and go to sleep, leaving the caller angry and unsatisfied. Hello, caller?
Hello.
Hello. Welcome, caller.
Hello. I'd like to agree, first of all, with the first caller that, you know, chicks are, for the most part, rather boring. Case in point was the most recent caller. What I'd like to talk about is, I'd like to talk about the idea of rape in this culture. I was thinking about simulated rape, actually, but you know what? It's late enough in the night that I think we can make the jump and talk about actual rape.
I would like to point out that if you talk about anything even remotely illegal, we're going to ask our producer to dump the 7-second delay and hang up on you.
I'm not talking about it. In fact, I'd simply like to discuss the idea with you. In particular, the way Americans object excessively to its occurrence in the culture. I mean, it seems here more than other places in the world, rape is very taboo.
To its occurrence in the what?
In society. We tend to equate rapists with murders, and the fact is they're nowhere close. I'm not sure. Here's my point. I'm not sure that rape is as bad as even robbery, because in the case of robbery, upon its completion, one is actually left with something absent, whereas in rape, one might have trauma, as one might have in robbery as well. But at least you're left, for the most part, bodily intact.
Well, caller,
yes.
No, legal niceties aside, I'm not really sure that this is the forum for a proper discussion of this topic.
Is there a rape talk show?
So, legally, probably no.
So I have two things to say. First of all, in the case of rape, what you don't have that you do have if you've been robbed is you're robbed of your dignity. And the second thing, caller, you need to realize is that you are living proof of the idea that you are a living contradiction of the statement that women are more boring than men. So I think we're going to hang up on you now. Have a nice day. If there are any interesting callers who'd like to give us a ring, the numbers are 621-WRCT or 268-9728. So, the arena.
So we've discussed sort of architectural layout of this place, and we might as well get down to the actual kind of vibe the sort of, I mean, actually, the thing that I would like to do, if you will proceed with me in this little experiment, I have been to the arena before, and I've actually also had various forms of degrading homosexual sex, and so this, it's all kind of old hat to me. But the two of you, being putatively straight, have done neither. And
that's
so,
it. From now on, you are putatively gay. you know, if, DJ Sextastic, if we just find the right girl for you.
Well, you know, I think Einstein proved that, you know, in the theory of, I mean, you know, you can never, if you, once you find, I mean, you cannot know. Well, anyway.
All right, so we're putatively straight.
So I want to know what I want you to actually paint us a vivid word picture.
Would you like us to talk about our deep repressed sexual feelings that threaten to come to the surface during this?
Of course. Well, if they do come up, you know, at the appropriate time, please, I hope you...
Well, my impression of it was, it reminded me a little bit of a Dickensian workhouse whose only product was hot, gay action.
Exclamation points against
it. It was grimy. It was eerie, actually, because everyone was wearing a towel, and it was very, very dark, and there was gay porn with New Age music going on. So you had all these silent people walking around speaking this language that I didn't understand, of gestures, looks, you know, there were obviously entrees to sex that I sort of wasn't privy to the code. And it looked like this labyrinth of sort of shadowy men all walking by each other, checking each other out. It was an extremely spooky experience.
And they all did kind of look like John Waters. I couldn't help but notice that. There was this kind of like pencil thin mustache, kind of hungry, vacant look.
Well, actually, DJ Sextastic warned us to expect people people who were particularly attractive. But I was surprised that you sort of saw men of every stripe, from those who wouldn't be conventionally attractive to those who were very well maintained, even into the 40s and 50s.
And the shocking thing is that neither of you chose to stay beyond the, apparently at 2 a.m. the place transforms, because as all the bars close in Pittsburgh, because we do, our bars close at 2. People apparently flock to the arena.
The Twinkies.
The Twinkies come. The Twinks come.
Could you explain that term?
So I mean, I am the perfect example of a Twink. Extremely young, attractive.
On your way to a PhD.
So I don't know. So Twink traditionally is someone who's sort of young, cute, you know, as yet unsullied by the kind of years of bitterness that the rest of us accumulate.
So 23 still counts for young in the gay community?
It depends if you've kept yourself up. Yeah. I mean, if you, I mean, there are people, you look at them and you can just tell that they've seen too much pleasure in their lives, right?
It's writ large on their face.
It really is. I think you can really tell, like, if someone's just been too much of a sex pig, or, you know, too much sex, too much drugs, whatever. And so, so we missed out, I guess, on the wave of Twinks, but,
Peter, I didn't mean to hog the spotlight in my description.
No, that's fine. I think it's a pretty accurate description. You're right about the subtlety of the language. But at the same time, we shouldn't make it sound like some kind of elegant, beautiful ballet. I mean, occasionally you'd turn a corner and, you know, there'd be some guy on his knees sucking off another guy. At one point...
The hot gay action I referred to earlier.
At one point... I don't know if you actually saw any hot gay action.
Yes, I did.
Okay. At one point, I walked past an open doorway, and in this room, with, you know, doors wide open, there's a guy on the bed and another guy on top of him, and then these two other guys who are giving each other hell, like, you know, it must have been five people in this room. And, you know, that's something I'd never seen before. Yeah. And it was...
I have to add that as a guy who finds it extremely difficult to get women to merely not edge away from me nervously at a party, the idea that you'd merely turn a corner and sex would appear magically before you was especially shocking.
So did either of you get offered sex, or?
Not explicitly, not in so many words.
Interesting.
Did you, DJ Sextastic?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, it's actually sort of funny, because I wasn't actually engaging in the kind of code either, if you will. I mean, I think the thing is, there's lots of people sort of looking at you and all.
Yeah, you certainly get. I think both of us got, like, raised eyebrows and things, but we don't know how to respond.
Certainly, but then again, I got glances. There were signs given, but again, I was never sure exactly how to interpret them. Right, but
right.
I mean, I think it doesn't take... Well, see, so there's two things. I was going to say at first that it doesn't take much, but it is indeed true that you know, being males as we all are, there is this kind of refractory period problem. So you have to choose your sexual partner somewhat carefully, because when you do have an orgasm, you know, you have to wait a while.
True. Well, you can engage in sexual activity and hard thrusting sexual activity without actually bringing it to completion.
Interesting, interesting. So was that your philosophy during the evening?
No, that's what I've been told by other people who've been to gay bathhouses, right, that the person you finally do expend your precious bodily fluids on possesses some special status.
I see. But indeed, so I
alpha
actually,
male, as it were.
I have far too much self-loathing to actually you know, acknowledge that anybody might be attracted to me. But so I wasn't engaging any of the usual kind of language, this kind of the language of flirtation, if you will. But at the end, as we were leaving, one rather attractive sort of older man did ask me if he could give me his phone number. And I gracefully declined because I, as you know, I'm in a committed relationship and wasn't really interested in following up on that. But he did say, you know, he wanted to get together or whatever. So I was actually very flattered by that.
And let us not forget the time in the steam room where I believe one of the other patrons did acknowledge that they were all, quote, trying to make it with you.
I don't remember the
DJ,
quote.
DJ All That 2000.
The verb wasn't make. It was poke, I think. Something more explicit.
I wanted to avoid anything that could create possible legal complications.
So we did actually meet several very interesting. It was actually funny because the thing that I found sort of sociologically interesting was that, you know, there was all this kind of like silent brooding kind of staring and looking. But once you pierce that, and actually the thing I thought was so interesting is that when you made your Dickensian something.
Workhouse
joke, and this other fellow laughed, and he enjoyed your little joke. I mean, you penetrate this kind of groovy, nonverbal, freakish behavior, and then you actually start to meet people and talk to them.
Yes.
And actually, we had a couple of very interesting conversations.
People were very happy to talk to us.
Once you get back, once you get past that sort of annoying barrier, we met one very talkative gentleman who was extremely interesting.
I'd like to actually just go around the room real quick. All the sex that I saw that was in good lighting, at least, was unprotected sex. Did anyone see any condoms in use? And, I mean, that kind of bugs me, and that would bug me more if I was a kind of active participant, you know, there for sex.
Well, so there were condoms available, certainly, but I don't...
And I should add ample health warnings at the check-in desk, both about AIDS and the various strains of hepatitis.
But I didn't really get. I was sort of nervous about getting too close to really get a good look.
Most of what I saw was in a spooky twilight, actually. So.
Right. I mean, we passed a few of those that I certainly couldn't tell.
So just to clarify, though, did you actually see? So, I mean, clearly the easiest way to get HIV or AIDS is via anal intercourse. Yes. Did you actually see unprotected anal intercourse?
No, I did not.
Okay.
No, I did not. I saw a lot of unprotected oral sex.
As did I.
And what looked, at least from the angle I was at, and again, I really didn't try to tack around the wind and get too close, what looked like basically oral anal contact to me, so I was assuming that was unprotected. And also just horrible.
Are there techniques for protecting oral anal contact?
Well, so you can use what people suggest for women, which is the so-called dental dam, which is a sheet of latex between the tongue and the anus. But, you know, at some point you wonder, I mean, that actually sort of makes the experience abstract enough that it's almost not really worth it.
Almost mathematical, if you will.
So that bugged me a lot. And that kind of raised my discomfort level. That was at the point where I just started saying, you know, where I wanted to leave before the twinks arrive, because, I don't know, that bugged me in a very fundamental way. And it would bug me, to be fair, it would bug me, I mean, I cannot begin to imagine the heterosexual equivalent of a gay bathhouse, but if I saw the same sorts of activities going on there, it's not just because these people are gay, it's because presumably they don't know each other, you know, they're there for semi-anonymous.
Well, I'm not an epidemiological expert, but... You know, in my own personal kind of sex life, I would probably, in my own personal, like, risk assessment profile, I would probably consider it okay to suck on somebody else's bare penis, but not to orgasm. So I personally don't find that terrifically shocking. I mean, I think the number one way to get, in my personal opinion, the number one way to get HIV is through anal sex. And also, I prefer not to have someone's semen, like, shoot in my mouth. But
well, there are also conditions other than HIV, such as, for example, herpes, such as hepatitis.
Right. Right. No, I understand completely.
Yeah. So I don't want to turn this into a big moralistic thing, because I know that takes all the fun out of it. And I was fascinated by the, you know, the openness by which all this. So I have a question for you, or for someone, and if anyone out there knows, the numbers here are 268 DJ all that. The numbers here 268 WRCT or 621 WRCT. Are the people at these bathhouses primarily closeted and out for a night, or by the time you go to a bathhouse, you're out?
The website address is sextalk.wrct.org.
About the guests being closeted, actually, we had in the steam room, when we were talking to a bunch of people, they talked very disdainfully about gay men who were closeted and who cruised without admitting to their families that they were gay, which gives me the impression that at least the people that we talked to.
Right. So I mean, it's interesting. I think that brings up an interesting point. I mean, I think there is definitely a group of people who are closeted, who are so closeted that the only way their homosexual feelings surface is by either picking up men in the park or picking up men in the malls or picking up men in the bathhouses.
And in the malls?
Oh, yeah. I mean, apparently the word mall daddy is not part of your lexicon. But, I mean, yeah.
No, do go on.
The mall daddy idea is that, you know, the mall daddy himself takes his family to the mall, and, you know, the kids go to the toy store, the mom goes to, you know.
So it's an actual daddy, not like a Mac daddy, right?
I don't even know what that means, but the mom goes to Kaufman's or whatever, and then the dad says, honey, you know, I'll pick you up in an hour.
I'm going to the sports store.
Exactly. And meanwhile, he doesn't go to the sports store at all, but he goes to the restroom, and he hangs out there and waits to have sex with strangers.
In the mall?
In the mall.
Do you know which mall?
Well, every mall. So for our, you know, this is actually, I mean, maybe we should devote a whole show to this, but there are.
I would want to meet a mall daddy. I want an interview with a mall daddy.
Mall daddies of the Pittsburgh area, please give us a call at 621-WRCT.
It's country code 1, area code 412-621-9728. But yes, no, I mean, I've been to the Monroeville Mall, and I find one of the bathrooms there very cruisy.
How cruisy?
Well, you know.
For our general audience might not know what cruisy actually means.
So, you know, by cruisy, it means that, you know, normal people, I mean, pardon me for using that expression, you know, the traditional, I should say the classic way of using a restroom at the mall would be to urinate or defecate in their stall.
Perhaps wash your hands.
Exactly. Freshen up or whatever. But the, you know, another way to use a restroom is to sort of hang out there and wait for other men to show up and then have furtive, awkward, gay sex with them.
Where?
Well, in the stall, like, for example, it completely depends on the geography of the stall itself, of the bathroom itself. For example, if there are two stalls with a little space underneath them, you know, you might, like, do a little reach-under thing where you, like, physically manipulate the other person's penis underneath the partition.
They'd have to be lying on the ground, then.
Or kneeling. Kneeling and poking their penis, okay. Poking their package, if you will, underneath the partition. Or sometimes there'll be a space between the far wall and the partition, and so you can sort of
snake your arm through.
Exactly. And so, you know, the variety of activities is sort of limited by your own imagination.
But or sometimes you just take a bandsaw and cut right through the wall.
Right. If you're particularly aggressive, if you're on Thermadrine, for example, as I am, you might do that. So I've had some limited experience with cruising. I haven't really done that. But you know, places like malls and airports and universities and truck stops, especially truck stops.
Well, truck stops I've heard about.
Yeah,
notoriously,
I've heard about that as well.
Right? You know, are places where people seek these kind of anonymous gay encounters. Yeah. And you know, I don't know how it actually how these places get selected, but you need a place that gets a lot of traffic, but not too much traffic, and where there's sort of a way that you can, you know.
There has to be a certain amount of accessibility.
Right.
Between stalls involved.
And so I'm...
We were discussing mall daddies as one of the classic examples of...
Right. So indeed, actually, you know, the funny thing, somebody at the arena made this comment, which I actually did not understand at all, which was, I was chatting with him. We had both just taken a shower together, and he had offered me some soap, which I found actually a little bit alarming. I'm not really sure why, but somehow it seemed kind of invasive. But he offered me some soap, and I, you know, I lathered up and so on. And then I was like, so, you know, I was asking him whether this was a typical night, and he said this. I can't say this word because it's one of the seven words I'm not supposed to say. But he said, no, it's really terrible tonight. There was a lot of. The word I want to say means people who would like to perform fellatio, okay?
Right.
C. It starts with a C.
Right.
It's a compound word, C-S.
Ah.
And he said that there's lots of those type of people here.
Well, wait, did he mean that in the literal sense or in the generic insulting sense?
Well, that's what I don't know. I was like, is that bad? I mean, I consider myself one of those people, and I consider it one of my greatest abilities. And so, but he appeared to be using it sort of derogatively, and he was kind of annoying me, and so I didn't really press the issue because he actually had. Well, there was the soap thing, and then he was showering next to me. So I understand, by the way, that you were showering, and you made a new friend.
And this guy was watching from across the hall, not across the hallway, but like, you know, looking as I showered. And it seemed to me the only alternatives were either stop showering or just, you know. Shower and not worry about it anymore than he would somewhere else.
So was he not masturbating while he was watching you?
I couldn't see, and I'm rather thankful for that. My impression was that he was. I kind of saw some movement, but he wasn't really close enough for me to get a good look.
Oh, interesting, interesting.
Yeah, so I guess I should be flattered or something. But I definitely felt I needed to bathe after being in that place. So I was just really mortified. And again, it had nothing, it really didn't have anything to do with the sexual acts that were occurring, except insofar as I felt that the place hadn't been, you know, the semen hadn't been washed away.
One of the more interesting discussions we had with people there was their fine reminiscence of bathhouses in other cities that they described as almost a Xanadu of cleanliness and well thought out facility design. And they lamented the fact that Pittsburgh really had only this alternative with no competition between bathhouses to really. You know, to really provoke some sort of improvement.
It is true. I mean, I have a friend who's been on the show who actually has visited many bathhouses in other cities, and he says, you know, Toronto's bathhouses are fabulous, and Columbus's bathhouses, and Cincinnati's bathhouses are fabulous.
Oh, Canada.
So indeed, it is a little bit disappointing. I mean, so I'm wondering whether your reaction to this bathhouse was because of your own internalized homophobia, or just because it was actually
because I'll tell you. First of all, I find the gay sex to be very interesting, you know, and all that. But my evil plan for this whole thing was, well, I'm going to go, and regardless of what I like or don't like, I can, you know, use a nice sauna or something like that,
yes,
and turn it into a pleasant experience. And the place was so skeevy that really wasn't even possible.
It was skeevy.
I mean, it was hands down, you know.
Yes.
Well, that's fantastic. It appears that we're out of time, and so on that note, on the new vocabulary word skeevy, I just want to announce that this is WRCT Pittsburgh, and thank you all for listening. Please tune in next week at 11 p.m. for yet another episode of Sex Talk. Good night.
You're listening to a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions contained within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to WRCT Pittsburgh, 5000 Forbes Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, or call 621-0728.